Hi, thanks for listening. This is the It's So Widgets Flutter podcast. My name is Philip Carr, and each episode we get a chance to speak with another amazing member of the Flutter community. This episode, we're extremely lucky to speak with Jesse. Welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being on. So to start, can you share a bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Jesse. I think I've been around a few years. People may have an idea of who I am from controversial statements in the past, but I've been using Flutter for maybe, seems like 3 or 4 years now. We started using Flutter because we thought it was a really good way to solve problems that we were seeing. We had a hard time maintaining applications across web, mobile, and desktop, and we were primarily a web native company, and but we were wanting to do things that were difficult to do on the web, and we needed to do a lot of custom rendering and things that HTML isn't so suitable for. So at some point we started looking to see, well, you know, what's out there that we could use. We use a lot of JavaScript game engine frameworks at first. We looked into Rust. We looked into Unity. Most of the stuff that was kind of suitable for the types of systems we were trying to build tended to be game engines. But when we stumbled across Flutter, we kind of took a look at it and said, man, this looks a lot like the thing we would want to build. So why reinvent the wheel? We should just use Flutter. And we kind of got on board at that time and have been using Flutter ever since.
Very cool. And what's the product you were building? Can you discuss it?
Yeah. So at the time we were building a collaboration application, and it was similar to, say, Miro or Canva. So it was very media heavy, had video conferencing. And I think a lot of my experience and frustrations with Flutter probably came out of that, a combination of being both kind of primarily with these scenarios, they tend to be like browser heavy. And so we're like most people using Flutter, it seemed to be more on the mobile side. We were more on the website. And then we were also very, very media heavy. So, you combine those two things, and it didn't take us very long to start running into serious limitations with Flutter many times, which surprised us because we didn't have these problems with the previous frameworks we were using. They seemed to be relatively difficult to solve in the Flutter framework itself, and many times turned out to be actual underlying problems with the engine.
That's interesting. I mean, especially if you're focused on Flutter web, I think many people would agree it's probably the weakest side of Flutter. It's still pretty amazing, but it's not as developed as mobile or even desktop probably.
Well, I think that's the general perspective, but you know, this is where maybe I'm a little weird and controversial. I always thought that the web Flutter was the best of all the Flutters in terms of the way it's put together, in terms of the architecture. I mean, clearly, I'm a historically web guy, so I tend to prefer web in general. But in my opinion, while maybe the desktop sites are more popular and there are very real challenges with Flutter web, for the types of things it does, it is really an awesome, amazing, well-architected framework. And I don't think there's really, if you wanted to build something, say, like Google Docs, which renders into Canvas in a similar way, you'd have to build something like Flutter. And there is not really something like Flutter on web that is the same quality as Flutter, despite all the challenges that there may be with it. While if you say go over to mobile, I don't know, Flutter is not that unique on mobile, in my opinion, compared to how unique it is on web. obviously, the amazing thing about Flutter is that it has a really good story across all the platforms as compared to, say, you know, we were previously doing React, and, you know, React could be great in a browser, but then you go to desktop and you have to do Electron, and then you want to do a mobile app. And even though you can maybe share some models and some kind of underlying business logic, you end up having to build a whole completely new front end because the React Native is not HTML. So I've always been a kind of super fan of Flutter Web, and maybe, you know, at the same time, a super hater because of real issues we ran into. But my opinion has always been that those issues are definitely very fixable. It's just maybe at some times it was hard to convince the Flutter team that they actually needed to be fixed, was where my challenges tended to be.
It's a really nice perspective, I have to say. I love Flutter Web myself. We've used it a lot also. We've had challenges as well. But it's incredible technology. There's no question. So the reason I asked you to come on this podcast is if you're in the Flutter community and you're on X, we've definitely seen your recent posts about Flocker. It's mind-blowing, but I'd like to understand it much better. So do you want to just start at the top? What inspired it? What are you building? What is it? Go from there.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the people on X probably know that over the past year since I've been using Flutter, I've had a lot of debates and conversations with people on the Flutter team about issues I was running into. And I think early on, I really tried to post GitHub issues and drive awareness to the problems we were seeing. And I thought, you know, like Flutter team obviously cares about Flutter. They'll want to fix these things. And I was kind of surprised that it didn't seem like they wanted to fix the things we were running into. And so after a while of getting frustrated that they didn't seem to want to listen, I started actually, you know, trying to contribute PRs to the Flutter team. I did make some changes to the Flutter web engine that landed to address some kind of core problems with how video rendering works on web. But it always seemed like an uphill battle to get any changes merged. And, you know, eventually we just started maintaining our own forks internally because it was easier to just solve our problems for us than it was to go through all the hoops with the Flutter team. And, you know, a few years later, together with Matt Carroll, we had started a fork of Flutter called Flock. And our idea was, well, maybe there's other like-minded people like us that would also be interested in contributing to a fork of Flutter so we could all solve our problems together. And, you know, we wouldn't have to be dependent on the Flutter team for fixes. So we spent some time on that and we built out a lot of infrastructure for, like, it turns out that, like, building Flutter yourself is actually can be quite challenging because a lot of the CI and infrastructure that the Flutter team uses is Google specific. Like things like Cocoon. It's not just like normal GitHub actions like a lot of people are used to. So if you want to fork Flutter, it turns out that like a lot of the challenge actually is not making your fixes. It's just like setting up all the infrastructure so you can even build it and run all the tests and produce binaries and then integrate it back into your project. So we spent a lot of time on that. We did have a few changes from Flock land back in the main Flutter, but I think overall it was a lot more work than we anticipated just on the infrastructure side. And while there seemed to be a lot of people that were like passionate about problems, there didn't seem to be a lot of people who actually, at the end of the day, wanted to help contribute to fixing them, at least maybe in a fork. You know, the people who have the desire, a lot of times they just want to submit to the main. You know, time that this was maybe when Flock came out, LLMs were really, really early on. And so it was a lot of effort to kind of dig through some of these problems that we were seeing in Flutter. And, you know, so in the years that have passed since then, I think software development has totally changed. And where when we started Flock, we were in a position that, like, if we couldn't get, say, someone who's an amazing iOS expert, we were not going to get any iOS patches. We now live in a world where I think you can think much bigger. And so after years of kind of complaining about, oh, I wish Flutter would work this way, I wish that Flutter would work that way, I decided, well, maybe now with all the assistance that you can get with LLMs, it might be time to experiment with some of these things that I've been saying for years should be possible and should probably work. And so one of those ideas that has been a recurring theme for me is I am not a fan of Impeller at all. I think Impeller was a mistake. I think I can understand the reasons that Impeller was made. They're clear. The Flutter team recites them over and over and over. Everyone knows why Flutter exists. But I think that in hindsight, Impeller has drained significant resources from the team as long as I've been using Flutter. And in all those years, Impeller still doesn't even run on web. The Flutter team has kind of scoped back their work on other platforms. Impeller still gets turned off on a lot of Android phones because it doesn't quite work well. I think it was only like a couple weeks ago that it went live on desktop. And in the meantime, Flutter itself is kind of stagnated. There's not a lot happening. I mean, if you look at the kind of exciting things that are going on right now, it's like extracting material in Cupertino from the framework, which I think is a great idea, but that doesn't solve any of the problems I've had. Most of the issues that I reported years ago are still open, and there's been no progress. Video still sucks on web. Web GPU still isn't supported on web. And so, I personally think that a lot of that reason is because so much time has been dumped into Impeller, and it's such a pain to maintain that there isn't a lot of time for other things. Now, that may or may not be true, but my idea has always been, well, what if we weren't dependent on Impeller? My opinion has always been that Skia was better. Now, I get the real challenges that people had with Skia way back in the day when the decision was made to leave it. But, you know, since that time, the Skia team has also developed a totally new rendering engine called Graphite. So the first thing I wanted to do was just like experiment. I've been saying Graphite should totally work. On the React Native side, they've been shipping Graphite in React Native Skia and experimenting with it on mobile. So why can't we experiment with it on Flutter? And you know, having this opinion that the web framework was actually the best of the Flutters, the nice thing about the Flutter web engine that maybe a lot of people don't realize is out of all the engines that the Flutter team has built, there's one of them that primarily uses Dart, and that is the web engine. The mobile engines use a lot of C++. The newer SK Wasm engine uses a lot more C++ than the Canvas Kit engine, but the Canvas Kit engine is my favorite. And it's my favorite because it uses Skia directly, it's mostly written in Dart, which I think is, if you want people to be able to contribute to the engine, it's nice if they don't all have to be C++ experts to do it. So my idea was, well, what if I just take the web engine, which already talks to Skia through this library called Canvas Kit, I port it to all of the platforms so that the same engine is running on web and mobile and desktop, And that engine, it goes back to being powered by Skia, but instead of being powered by the version of Skia that led to a lot of frustration back in the day, it's powered by the newer version of Skia that was intended to solve a lot of the same problems that Impeller was intended to solve. So I quickly put together a prototype of this, and sure enough, it worked great on web, it worked great on mobile, and it worked great on desktop. And so I got to thinking, well, could we take it farther than this? You know, the types of apps I've always been building, often you get in a situation where maybe Flutter is great for some parts of it, but then you wish you could use something else. Like maybe you find a nice Rust component and you'd like to integrate in your application. And that's always been a challenge because everything seems to be kind of sandboxed into their own little silos. Like if you want to use React Native stuff, you got to use React Native stuff. If you want to use Rust stuff, maybe you're looking at GPUI, maybe you're looking at Deoxys. If you want to use Flutter stuff, you're only using Flutter stuff. And I don't think it has to be that way. So I started to think, well, Flutter has this part of the engine called the embedder. And the embedder is responsible for taking all these platform-specific events and converting them into events that Flutter understands. Things like what's happening with pointers, what's happening with the IME or key presses. It takes all this stuff from the platform and it feeds it to the engine in a standard format across all the platforms so that in theory, you know, the engine wouldn't have to be rewritten for every single platform. Now, in practice, the weird thing that the Flutter team has done is they actually ended up re-implementing the engine over and over and over in all these platforms, which kind of defeats the point, in my mind, of the embedder. So I thought, well, what if what I did was take the Flutter embedder, which is probably one of the best attempts to make something cross-platform, but instead of just only making the embedder talk to the Flutter engine, I took this concept that I had applied with Skia, and I took the web GPU part out, and I standardized across all the platforms. So my idea was, well, I could take the Flutter embedder, and I could provide a kind of language neutral, platform neutral way to talk to the GPU, because a significant part of Flutter is just how do you draw stuff. But every framework has a different kind of opinion on how you should draw stuff. Yet, if they're going to target the web, they all end up having to, at some point, at least modern ones, will provide some way to render with web GPU. So my idea was, if I could take the Flutter embedder, which is already really great at handling input events and already has some notion of how you might give a process a graphics context, maybe I could make that work with other languages too. Because if all of these languages support WebGPU, then there's really no reason that they couldn't all talk to the same thing. Now, in parallel, while I had this idea, the thing I didn't really have a good answer for was, while WebGPU is kind of standardized, how you interface with the operating system is not. So anyone who's built Flutter packages and tried to support, say, both web and native, it quickly gets into a situation where it's kind of a mess because you can't do FFI on web, and then on native, you have to do FFI. And so at a minimum, you're going to end up with two versions of the plugin, but probably more because unless you're using something like Rust, to build your plugin, you may end up with like a Windows implementation, a iOS implementation, a Mac implementation, all talking to FFI. And so I didn't really have a good answer for, well, how would you solve that problem across languages? Because every language kind of does its own FFI. But as I was thinking about this problem, I heard about this thing called WANIX. And WANIX is almost like an operating system that runs in the browser. It can virtualize processes. And it's based off of this old operating system called Plan 9. And the interesting thing about Plan 9 was that they solved this FFI problem. And the way that they solved the FFI problem was that they just decided, well, the way things should talk to each other is the way things talk to files. So if you virtualize like every device as if it was a file system, because every language always ends up needing to write files, then it makes it really easy for any language to be able to do interop with various components of the system. And so I hopped on a talk that the guy who built WANIX was giving, and it just blew me away. And it was the, you know, exactly the same problem I had been wondering, well, how the hell am I going to solve this? And so I set to work porting Plan 9 to Rust so that I could replace a lot of the guts of how the embedder works with this concept from Plan 9 that was a really great way to solve FFI. So after, you know, working on it for a little bit, I was able to get a version of Flutter ported, working on top of Plan 9, and with full GPU access, I'm able to run GPUI apps in Rust. I ported 3JS from JavaScript to Dart, and I can run a full game engine now in Flutter. And so it turns out that these ideas actually are very powerful and work. And so it's quickly evolving into something quite capable. And I believe that's why it's maybe getting a lot of buzz right now.
That's amazing and super helpful. It gives me a much better understanding. So a couple of questions, I guess, just to go back a few steps. So my understanding of the push for Impeller initially came based on the community constantly complaining about shader jank, and that Impeller gave it a kind of a definitive solution where it's basically pre-compiled. Does Graphite solve that at the same level, or is shader jank a bigger issue with Graphite versus Impeller? Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the common refrain from the Impeller team, right? Like, I think everyone knows that's why. Now, it's not exactly true that the Flutter team didn't have a solution for that on top of Skia. There was actually a way that you could, even in the old Skia, you could run a process to kind of gather the shaders while your app was running. But I think the team felt like the process by which you had to pre-compile all the shaders was just kind of like a pain. Now, I think the shader jank issue is a little bit overblown personally. And maybe that's because I come from web. On web, you can't pre-compile shaders, period. And you've never been able to. So the web browsers just refuse to even allow it. So if it's so bad, why isn't Flutter Web so terrible? Now, Flutter Web does have some of those same shader jank problems, but for me and the types of apps we were building, they were never massive issues. The reality is those shader jank issues came up in certain cases. It was not in all cases. Now, the question is, well, yeah, does Graphite do something different? And yes, Graphite, from the words of the people who started the project, was intended to solve a lot of the same problems that Impeller was facing, because the old Skia was designed for older GPUs. And the core problem in the old Skia was that if you wanted to do something trivial, let's say you wanted to change a border radius, that might cause it to generate a new shader. Now, the other problem was that it was targeting an old target, you know, like a OpenGL or WebGL, which is not even, you know, on an iPhone, you really want to target Metal. On a Android, you really want to target Falcon. And so there was kind of a numerous problems. Now, Impeller solves those problems, right? Like Impeller does ship with a set number of shaders. If you want to add more, you can, but you have to pre-compile them. And Impeller does target these kind of more modern graphics APIs directly. Well, Graphite does the same thing. Graphite does target these newer APIs directly. It also can talk directly to WebGPU, which Flocker uses. The way that they designed the shader system in Graphite is different. So instead of generating like so many shaders just because you changed a border radius, they tried to generate more flexible shaders so that you didn't have to have as much jank when you were doing some of these kind of common operations like animating a border radius. So it's not as big of a deal in Graphite, but, the Impeller team will always say, yeah, but you can't pre-compile shaders in Graphite. And that's just totally false. Graphite does support compilation of your shader pipelines, and you can compile them offline if you feel the need to do so. It is designed explicitly to support that. You do have to kind of compile them specifically for the graphics card and the version of Skia that you're targeting. But it is definitely possible if you want to pre-compile your shaders to pre-compile your shaders on Graphite.
That's interesting. It seems like the Flutter team is responsive to general developer consensus. For example, the splitting out of Material and Cupertino packages is probably because of the push of the community, right? This has been a constant refrain of developers in the Flutter community saying, hey, you know, this is an issue for us, please help. And they've responded to it. And I think probably similar with Impeller, that they're trying to please the developer community. I think they have good intentions.
I don't think anyone should question their intentions. They clearly, they maintain a product. They're proud of the decisions they've made. Personally, I never saw shader jank as that big of an issue, but I did have real problems with features I was trying to build in my app where I actually needed dynamic shaders. So, well, on the one side, you might say, well, okay, but like shader jank was an issue. I want to pre-compile my shaders. Well, what happens if you want to build something like, say, a design tool? Let's say you wanted to build something like Figma. And as part of that tool, people need to be able to design custom effects. Well, now they can't recompile the app. You're providing an authoring tool. And so there's large kind of classifications of apps that basically, because of that decision with Impeller, have been totally eliminated as a possibility. You can't even build those kinds of things on top of Flutter. And, you know, with Graphite, you can both precompile your shaders and do dynamic shaders. But it seems like with Impeller, the refrain has been repeated so much about the jank problem that they just want to keep Impeller as small as possible and keep it as few features as possible. And then they want to avoid dynamic shaders so much that, like, if Impeller was to ever get as much functionality as, say, Graphite, there would be no reason for Impeller to exist. I've always, you know, I guess it whether they're in general responsive to the community, I guess that's probably something that's up for debate. And there's a lot of people with a range of opinions there. But what I do know is they were not responsive to the things I personally needed. And a lot of the issues that I filed years ago are still sitting there unopened, you know, or unaddressed. And one of them specifically has to do with, we need the ability to do dynamic shaders. But in all the years, over all the tickets I filed, none of them ever got fixed by the Flutter team. So I think that's a large part of the reason that I started down the path of Flocker. You know, maybe I'm sure for a lot of people, Impeller works great. But for the types of things I was trying to build, Impeller just wasn't even a starting point.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so to go back to Flocker, could I use it now to build a cross-platform application with Flutter?
Flocker is still in development, so you can't yet. It's probably a few weeks out from some early alphas, but it will be available publicly in the very near future.
That's awesome. And so in the future or near future, you would be able to use Flocker, write Flutter code, and have a cross-platform application backed by I guess, Graphite on all platforms. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. But it's more than that. So the way Flocker works is a bit different than the way Flutter works. So Flocker runs WASM apps. A significant portion of Flocker is native, but it takes a very different approach to integrating with the operating system. So if you've ever done, say, audio with Flutter or video with Flutter, you might start to see some of the seams in the Flutter framework, because audio and video aren't really a first-class thing in Flutter. They're not actually supported by the embedder at all. They're not supported by the engine at all. There's zero video APIs, zero audio APIs in the Flutter engine. Now, in a world where everyone has a camera in their phone and Flutter is targeting heavily mobile devices, that's always seemed like super weird to me. Like, why does Flutter have zero code in the engine for two of the most common things that people want to do with their phones? And because of that, what often ends up happening, if you go out to, say, pub dev and you start looking for audio player packages, like what's happened to me is you go out and look and you find one that looks promising and maybe it works on iOS, but then you go try to play a sound on web and you just get a bunch of clicking or looping, or like it just doesn't even work at all. And you often end up in a situation where, like, none of the audio packages actually even work. And so with Flocker, what I try to do is integrate a lot of these things like media processing actually into the engine itself. So it's a first-class thing. But then the apps themselves, because of the fact that the engine does a lot more, the apps now can treat the engine almost like a web browser, where if you build web apps, you don't have to use FFI. You don't have to talk directly to the operating system, because the browser is rich enough to provide these services to you. The browser handles decoding images. The browser handles decoding video. The browser handles mixing audio. And so you never have to write FFI and solve these kind of hard problems that maybe you don't know how to solve and you don't want to solve, but you do need to play a video. And so because all of these things that require a low-level, high-performance code live on the native side and are built into the engine, the apps themselves can just be WebAssembly apps. And so the cool thing about Flocker is you take an app, you compile it to WebAssembly. So let's say you're taking a Flutter app and compiling it to WebAssembly. You get this WASM package. Now, like everyone, it's probably familiar with WebAssembly from the web, and it's great. But what Flocker does is it allows you to take that same exact WebAssembly binary, and you can run it on mobile, and you can run it on desktop, because the embedder is rich enough, just like the browser, to provide you audio services, media services, input services, clipboard services, drag and drop services, like all these things that Flutter has always pushed off to third-party packages, many times that the team doesn't really even support. And so the goal with Flocker is to provide a much richer environment for your apps to run in that's pure native code, so that your app can kind of just be an app and you can use the same exact version of your app across all the platforms. Now, what that also opens up, because they're just WASM apps, they don't even have to be just Flutter apps. So they could be apps compiled with Rust. They could be apps compiled with .NET. They're just WASM apps. So Flocker has integrated support for WASI. It has integrated support for WASIX. It also has some specialized detection of WebAssembly bundles created from compilers like Dart, because Dart's WebAssembly compiler is not, it's good for web, but it doesn't like really have any other platform as first class. So Flocker will automatically detect that it's a Docker WASM and kind of do the same types of things the browser would do, so that it will actually run on all these devices. And so, the cool thing about that, it gives you the ability to mix and match. So you could have, say, I posted a video of something like Dartpad, where the editor is fully made in Dart, but then you can actually run a Rust app, or you could have HTML rendered live, not through like an iframe or a platform view or these things that kind of punch holes in the Flutter engine itself. So while definitely Flutter is a big target of Flocker, because I love Flutter and it was really the inspiration for the whole project, Flocker is more of a language and framework neutral engine. You could think of it kind of like a Electron for WASM apps.
Very, very cool. The browser metaphor really helps me understand, I think, the philosophy behind it. I'm asking a difficult question or harder question. What are the drawbacks? What are we losing with this approach? Is there anything, or is it too good to be true?
The immediate, like, big, I would say, not necessarily a drawback, but risk factor. Obviously, Flutter's, like, really mature. So the Flutter engine is, it's been around a long time. It's been refined. Thousands and thousands and thousands of issues have been fixed. Flocker's all new. The Flutter engine in Flocker was rebuilt. It's not any of the Flutter engines that are currently in Flutter. It is based on the Canvas Skid engine for sure, but it has been replaced by a version that talks to Skia Graphite. The entire embedder has been replaced. There's a whole. It's more like an operating system where it has a first-class notion of kind of processes, so you can spawn other WASM tasks, you could build custom drivers, you could deploy native code if you want, but the FFI model is different. So definitely, especially in the near future, Flocker is going to be more suitable for people who are early adopters, who like experimenting with new things. And over time, it will get much more mature and stable, just like Flutter. But I would say the obvious risk right now is these are all cutting edge things. I know there's a lot of people with various opinions on, what about the performance of WASM on mobile? What about the performance of WASM on desktop? How does that compare to a native app? Well, what about the maturity of Skia Graphite? And admittedly, all these things are definitely, they're definitely new. They're definitely cutting edge. They're not the kind of safe choice. But for the types of applications I want to build, the reality is I can't build them on Flutter. And I do need other technology, or I just can't get to where I'm trying to go.
Got it. Yeah, I understand that. Are you interested in help from other developers? If people are listening, would you like people to contribute or get involved?
At this point, the repo is not public, so it would be hard for someone to help. I think in the near future, I would love for people to give it a spin, find where it's not working for them, find where maybe, they have a device that is not supported. And that would be a great way to help. In terms of contributions, there will definitely be opportunities. I think a big portion of things that will need to happen is because of the fact that Flockr itself has a totally new way to interface with the kind of underlying system, there's going to be a lot of packages that need to be ported. While, you know, standard pure Dart and Flutter code will work with no problem, packages that do FFI are in many cases going to need to be reworked a little bit. For example, let's say you have a text editor and that text editor interfaces with clipboard. You're probably using an awesome package, Super Clipboard, for that. But in Flockr, that's actually just built into the embedder itself, so you don't need a third-party package. So if your app or your package was kind of using one of these packages that was doing FFI to do that, it will have to be updated to talk straight to the embedder.
Wow. Amazing. Really, really exciting stuff. Would you be open to getting this stuff merged into the Flutter codebase itself, or you think it makes more sense as a standalone project in its own right as a separate entity?
Well, I mean, I've always been open to my changes going back into Flutter. I think it's highly unlikely that any of this would ever get merged into Flutter. Historically, I hope it does maybe inspire some good changes in Flutter. But Flockr is about much more than Flutter. It's not a Flutter thing, all right? Like, Flockr is supporting all languages and all frameworks. So I don't think it really even belongs in Flutter. The better approach is like what Flockr's doing. And there is a custom engine designed to integrate straight with Flockr so that normal Flutter apps can run straight inside Flockr. But the embedder itself is much more standalone. And it would be sad if it were merged into a repo controlled by a team with a vested interest in only one of the languages it supports.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hear that. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I think we covered a lot. Did we miss anything?
I think that that kind of probably gives people a good idea. If people are interested in kind of keeping up to date, of course, I'm always posting on X, J-E-Z-E-L, J-E-Z-E-L-L, and that's the best place to kind of ask questions. I'm always happy to answer, you know, whether it's a positive or negative feedback, it's all good. And I love just talking with people about Flutter, about these kind of issues in general. I'm very passionate about them. And people should go on X and find out more.
Cool. All right, so make sure to include links in the show notes. Again, thank you for your time. This has been really fascinating. I'd like to dig in more, learn more about it. I really like what you mentioned earlier about the file system. It feels very much like Linux, which I love, that you can kind of build pieces that glue together and create a more cohesive whole where each part is responsible for its own piece of it. And then, you know, in Linux, you use piping to go from one process to another. And it feels similar to that in a way, which is really...
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the cool things about that is, like, in Flockr on web, Dart.io is supported because file operations are so essential to the way Flockr works that you really get a much more unified experience even in Flutter, where you don't have to have, you know, like a fork of your code that does something not with Dart.io on web and then a fork of your code that does something with Dart.io on native. So the cool thing about a kind of plan 9 and the way it works, all these file systems are virtual. So like in the browser, Flockr supports OPFS. So you can actually, you know, read and write files directly in the browser with your Flutter app into the browser's kind of native file system.
That is cool. That is very cool. Amazing. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Everyone listening, I guess stay tuned. Hopefully there'll be a public repo soon and we can all try it out ourselves. Really enjoying seeing the post on X. It's fascinating. Again, coming from a web background, seeing porting these JavaScript frameworks to Dart is really exciting and opens up the possibilities for the future. What else is possible, right? It seems like this is just the starting point and it could enable many more things in the future, clearly.
Yeah. Exciting times ahead.
Thank you for your time. Thank you everyone for listening. Until next time.
Thank you.